We presently are reading the book of Jeremiah, and we're reading things that are very awesome, very ominous, very unhappy, but so be it. These are the words of God, and they are just as important in the book of Jeremiah as they are in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or Romans or Philippians or any other part of the Bible. They are the word of God. So pray with me that as we teach on this program, that it may be a faithful teaching that identifies only with the word of God. Now, we've been spending a lot of time in the book of Jeremiah, and while the book of Jeremiah was written about 2,500 or more years ago, maybe 2,600 years ago, nevertheless, it is absolutely pertinent to today, because we discovered a long time ago, as we went through the book of Jeremiah, that it was speaking about us today. While it is using Israel, ancient Judah, as a dynamic and dominant illustration of what God has in view for us, nevertheless, the final point of the whole book is looking right at us today. We discover, of course, that it is Judah that was under the wrath of God, and was God's judgment was upon it, and they were driven out into Babylon and so on. And yet we found out that long ago, and again it is repeated, we found that it is speaking about the end of the church age, that it is typified by Judah, that God's judgment is upon the local congregations, and it's speaking about God's plans outside after the church age. Now, we were, in our last studies, we've been looking at Jeremiah 16. And Jeremiah 16, the closing verses are not very easy verses to figure out. We did discover that while on the face of it, it looks like God is speaking about judgment, yet in effect, we learn that in all likelihood, he is talking about his salvation that still must be. And yet in the midst of all this, there is this grand plan of God, the second jubilee, as the gospel is going out into the world for the sake of the elect. That all identifies with Matthew 24, verse 22, where it says, "For the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." That is, outside of the local congregations, there is a grand salvation plan going on. Now, we go on in verse 19. O Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, my strength, my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? I will this once, it would be better to translate, I will in this time, I will in this time cause them to know. I will cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know my name is Jehovah, the Lord. That is Jehovah. Now, again, we can read these verses and we can say, well, you're trying to tell us that these verses have to do with God's salvation plan, that once more there is salvation. Aren't these verses just focusing on the wrath of God on the local congregation? Yes, they are focusing there, but you must remember that even as God is focusing his judgment on the local congregations, there is salvation going on. Where? It's outside. It's not in the local congregation. And for those in the congregation, the only hope is if they obey God's command and come out, because outside there is still salvation going on. So actually, there really is a two-pronged emphasis here. On the one hand, there it is the judgment of God on the local congregations, but on the other hand, we must never lose sight of the fact that there's a great multitude which no man can number, that God is still saving. It's identified with the local congregations, because where did we, most of us, come from who are now believers? Where did we first come from? We came out of the local congregations. And so there, although the nations, the Gentiles that are coming in, and there's a great multitude, many of them have never had any identification with a local congregation. And yet they are recognizing and are being told and understanding, because they trust the Word of God and are being taught in the Word of God, that their salvation also is only because of God's mercy. And they identify also with those who are in great sin. But we do know that God is saying here in verse 21, at this time, well, again, you can see, I know, on the one hand, at this time, he is showing his salvation plan, but it's also at this time, he is showing his judgment. Both are possible. He's also showing his judgment. And when we read that my name is Jehovah, that is no assurance that it's only talking about Christ as the Savior, even though that is a dominant meaning of the word Jehovah. I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. But on the other hand, we can go to verses like in Deuteronomy 28, where God says, Jehovah will pour out his wrath. Jehovah will do this. Jehovah will do that. He is the judge of all the earth, and Christ is both the Savior and the judge. So we have verses here that are not easy to finally explicate, but we do know that whether we look at it finally as a judgment on the local congregations, or as we look at it as God's final program of salvation, and both are in view, we're going to be on safe ground in either case, because both are in view. Like I said, it's an anomaly that's going on, that while all the congregations are under the wrath of God, outside of the congregations, there is this grand salvation going on. And yet, as this grand salvation is going on, it is not because he's saving good people. He's saving bad people who are in rebellion against God. In spite of their rebellion, he is saving them. Well, now we're going to go on to chapter 17. And now God is going to really get back into his judgment on the local congregations. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars, while your children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O, my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. Now, there's no possibility of misunderstanding this language. God now is going right back, looking at the local congregations typified by Judah, indicating the character of their sin, using very, very dramatic language. Very dramatic language. We just don't find this anywhere in the Bible quite like this. The sin of Judah. Remember what Judah was? It was an external representation of the kingdom of God in that day. What is Judah today? The local congregations that externally were representative of the kingdom of God. The sin. What is the sin of Judah that is written with a pen of iron? What is the sin? Well, he's already described this again and again. The fact that they make their own gods that they want to serve rather than the God of the Bible. And the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and a point of a diamond. Now, the word, the Hebrew word here is used three times in the Bible, and it's a word that means a stone that is much harder than any other stone. And so the translators know, of course, that a diamond is the hardest stone, and so they translate it as diamond, which is a perfectly good translation. In other words, it is the sin is, where is it? It's graven upon the table of their heart. And there's an implication there, because why do you need a pen of iron? That already establishes strength, doesn't it? This isn't just an ordinary quilt, like a quill, like from a feather. You're cutting it off and dipping it into the ink. This is a pen that has tremendous strength. You can really bear down. And it's got a point that is as hard as the hardest rock possible, like a diamond. And why do you need that kind of a pen to write the sin or show what the sin is? Because it is dealing with the hard hearts of the unsaved. The hard hearts of the unsaved. And it's engraved there. It's there now. Well, let's look at the second part of it. It's not only graven on their heart, but upon the horns of your altars. Now, that's a strange statement, isn't it? You know, the altar that was built, God commanded them to put a horn on each corner of the altar. On each corner of the altar. Now, in the Bible, horn invariably has to do with, we're not talking about a trumpet horn in this case, although it is a ram's horn that was the shofar that was blown. But in this case, God is using the word horn to indicate strength. The horn, the little horn, was Satan who showing he was his strength, or he will cast down their horns. That is, he will take away their strength. Now, why is there a horn on the four corners of the altar that establishes strength? What is the strength of the altar? Well, we have to think what was done on the altar. It was on the altar that the burnt offering was offered. And what was the strength of the burnt offering? That it was pointing to the Lord Jesus, who alone pays for our sins. In other words, the altar spiritually signified in a strong way the God's salvation plan, that it is workable, it is doable, because it is established by God. When Christ paid for our sins, they are paid for. It's a very curious way that God is showing that God's salvation plan has strength. It is eternal in character, and it's able to wipe away all of our sins. Okay, well now, your sin is graven on your heart, that it's been scratched deep into your heart, your hard hearts. And notice also, it is written on the horns of the altar. Now, what was the purpose of the altar? It was to signify that there is a way to have sin removed. Because when the animal was offered as a burnt offering, it was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And what was the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God? To take away our sins. He is the Lamb that was slain in order to pay for our sins, so that when the animal was slain, or when Christ was slain, who was typified by the animal, the sins are all gone. So that meant that there is no more remembrance of that sin. It's gone. It's all been paid for. But this altar has four horns. And the sin of Israel has been engraved on those horns. It cannot be removed. It is engraved on their hearts. Remember that lamb that was offered, the Lord Jesus, was supposed to pay for the sins of people. but that sin is engraved on their hearts. It cannot be removed. Why can't it be removed? Because we have come into that unique time, absolutely unique time, when God has abandoned Judah. He's abandoned his local congregations. He's no longer there. Whatever they think is the offering that they are making, whatever they are trusting in, is not going to pay for anybody's sins. Their sin remains. It identifies with passages like Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10, where God is saying that, well, let's just read one of those passages again in Hebrews chapter 6, in Hebrews chapter 6, where we read in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance." In other words, their sin is engraved on their hearts with a pen of iron, with a point of diamond. It cannot be removed. It is language that only identifies with that time. There's never, never, never a time in the history of the world when there was a time when it was impossible that people cannot become saved. But today in the local congregations, it's impossible. People cannot become saved there. It is a unique situation altogether. And this is what makes this time in history so horrendous, so terrible. And we're so grateful that there is the other side of the coin, that outside of the local congregations, there's a great multitude which no man can number that are being saved. But those who are trusting in the ceremonial laws, the altar, as they understand it in the local congregations, no, there is no salvation for them. Well, let's go back to Jeremiah 17, and we read next, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with a point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars, while their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills." And in other words, it goes back to the fact that it reminds us again of the Gentiles who shall come to thee from the ends of the earth and say, "Surely our fathers have inherited all of this." We who come out of the local congregations, or those who remain, no, those who remain, they don't remember. They believe that they are faithful to the Lord. But we who come out, we can recognize that this sin is there. We remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. And remember, that has to do with the high places. That has to do with the worship of other gods. That has to do with verse 20 of Jeremiah 16. "Shall a man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods." And so we go on in verse 3. "Oh, my mountain in the field." Mountain is a synonym for kingdom. Field is a synonym for the world. "Oh, my kingdom that is in the world, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders." It is an indictment that God is making against the local congregations. My kingdom, remember again and again, as we've been going through Jeremiah, we find that the wrath of God is against my people, my kingdom. And remember, we read in Matthew where Jesus found a treasure in a field and he bought the field. And that treasure is the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God externally has become totally in sin. The sin is engraved on their hearts. There is no remedy for that. And so it is nothing but judgment. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. That immediately ties us in. It's God's final judgment on those who remain in the local congregations. We're going to pick up there in our next study in verse 4. Until our next study, may the Lord richly bless you.